Murder in Paris by Howard Ginsberg, with Alan Bates as Georges Simenon, Bob Peck as Inspector Mercier, and Amelia Fox as Marie-Jo Simenon. Murder in Paris.
I thought it was all over and done with. If that sort of thing is ever over and done with. And then it started up again. Or rather, he started it up again. I hadn't seen him for quite some time, not since the day we discovered the body. He'd been in seclusion. Or was it hiding? Georges Simenon, mystery writer. Maigret books. Very famous. Very rich. Friend of mine. Well, friend of sorts. We don't have that much in common.
I'm just a little boy.
He's a bit strange.
Looking for a little girl.
More than strange.
Looking for a boy to love.
We did have this in common, to be sure. We both had daughters. The same age. At the time. I'd been meaning to look him up again. Make one more try. When I heard he was writing that book of his. Memoirs. Leave well enough alone is what I'd say if he'd asked me, which he wouldn't. But then again, he never left anything alone. New evidence, supposed to come out. Police incompetence, of course. That sort of thing. But then, there was the break-in, which changed everything. Then, I had to see him.
Marie-Jo. She had a wonderful voice. She had a wonderful life.
George.
Teresa, Simenon's maid.
Must you go out in this weather?
His former maid.
I had to go to the garden today.
That's your death of cold.
Never understood what he saw in her.
The garden. Especially today.
But then I never understood much of anything about him.
Marie-Jo has been waiting for me. I had to go and tell her. It will not be long now.
You mustn't say that.
I got to know the family over the years. Sad little girl. How shall I say it and be kind? She was like a snail without a shell. She had no spine.
Yes, I took my morning promenade out there around my beautiful tree. And I said to the silence of a newborn day, Bonjour, Marie-Jo. Bonjour, petite fille. Bonjour. Yes. Today.
You could have waited, you and Mercier.
No, it had to be today.
He could have waited.
I'll be fine. Just fine. This morning I heard the sound of wings, hundreds upon hundreds of fluttering wings, filling the sky. Birds swarming and diving, turning and wheeling this way, that way, coming to rest in my tree. My tree.
Yes, yours. Yours and mine. Our tree.
The largest tree.
Yes.
In all Lausanne.
More coffee, my dearest George.
My precious. My beloved Teresa. The reason for my existence.
Inspector Mercier, he has a reason for coming?
Of course he has a reason for coming. I know why he's coming.
You don't have to see him.
I have to see him.
It didn't have to be this Friday.
It had to be this Friday. He's coming about my book. My book. He doesn't care what Denise writes.
Your book will take care of all her lies about you. and me.
Yes, my book and the book of Mary Jo.
Didn't think he ought to publish myself. A book like that.
I've decided on the title.
You must tell the world.
I wanted to tell him, write it down, perhaps. Get it out of your system. But don't publish.
Yes, my intimate memoirs. Quite intimate.
After all, he didn't need the money. He didn't need the publicity. But he did revel in that, always.
When does he arrive?
He said, 11:15.
He shouldn't have said that.
It's all right.
You shouldn't have let him say that.
It will be all right, Teresa.
Then he's put him up to it.
It will be all right, I promise you.
They will never leave us alone. She and Mercy. Never. Never.
I will take care of Inspector Mercy.
I was getting ready to leave for Lausanne.
Inspector, it's Denise.
Madame Simonon.
I wish you wouldn't call me that. Denise.
I'm sorry. Madame.
You are difficult, Inspector. My name is now Denise Ouimet. Mademoiselle Ouimet. My virginal name. Simonon still won't give me a divorce. You are going to see him.
I am indeed, yes. Yes.
I thought you would. Now, Inspector, could you perform for me a small personal favor?
Certainly, madame.
I have an envelope for you to bring to the great Simonon, and a small gift for yourself.
Merci bien, madame. But I regret I must leave tomorrow.
Then we have time for lunch. Before your train.
Well, it would be...
I'll be good, Inspector. Very good. I promise.
Oh, I didn't mean...
And for Georges Sank.
Oh, madame.
You will be my guest.
As always.
Why not? Till tomorrow, then. At noon. Au revoir, Inspector.
Au revoir, madame. I hadn't seen her in quite a while. She'd phoned me several times, invited me over. My wife wasn't too keen about it, the idea of it, you know. But the Georges Sank, well, I could certainly never afford that. Simon and Denise loved the place. I remember the last time they took me there. He surprised me by bringing along Mary Jo. A poor little girl. I could tell when I first laid eyes on her. Twisting her hair, putting it in her mouth. Her father trying to get her to stop. Denise, off in her own world. Except when some good-looking man came in the room. Mary Jo, her eyes never leaving her father. If he left the table, she'd get nervous. When he came back, she'd light up like a Christmas tree. Her mother never seemed to notice. She was someplace else. She loved food, wine, and men. The weight of the sommelier falling over her. No wonder, bottle of wine, 1,000 francs, Chateau Lafitte. Quite something for me. I remember the dress she wore. Everyone turned around. She never came on to me. Not really. Not like she could.
Inspector Mercier.
Bonjour, madame.
Bonjour, my dear inspector. Let me look at you. Oh, you look wonderful.
And you, madame, you look quite well yourself.
No, I don't.
Oh, indeed.
Do sit down, please, inspector. It's been quite some time, hasn't it?
Yes, madame.
When you're trying to avoid me.
Oh, madame.
Oh, I know. I'm difficult. I've always been difficult. I'm more difficult now. You know Georges sold the chateau?
Mm-hmm.
He hated it. I didn't care. I was among the living dead. I still am. I go to Lausanne now and then.
stay at that dreadful hotel. Take that corner room so I can look down and see his little pink house. His garden. His big phallic tree. He still won't let me come and pay my final respects, even when they're out. He and that cow of his, Teresa.
Bonjour, madame. Monsieur, un apéritif?
Whiskey.
Merci, madame.
Un coup de bon.
Merci, monsieur.
I still see her on the streets. Every day. A young woman. Long blonde hair. Carrying a guitar. I run after her. It's always the same. She turns around. I apologize. He won't let me into the apartment either. He has it locked up, sealed shut. My lawyers are onto him, of course, but his lawyers, well, you know lawyers, nothing happens. And Simonon gets his way, as always. Have you seen him since...
No, madame, no. He's been rather unhappy with me, I must say.
He's unhappy with anyone who disagrees with him. That book of his coming out, his so-called memoirs, his latest work of pure fiction. You've read my book, of course.
Alas, madame, I regret.
No, I didn't think you had. So I brought you a copy.
Oh.
Here. I'll even autograph it. You know, it wasn't easy for me. For him, he used to write his books in 7 days. Mm-hmm. 7 days. Sometimes less. And then he was after me, all the time for sex. Wore me out. To Inspector Etienne Mercier. Police judiciaire. The only man with the courage to stand up to Simonon. How do you like the title? The cat who ate all the birds.
Well...
Now, be nice. I thought it was rather clever. Well, if you can't be nice, be good. I always say that. Not very profound. Of course, if you can't be good, be careful. I always say that, too. I never was careful about anything. Which is why I ended up with Simonon. Which is why I ended up in that goddamned hospital.
Voici, madame. Monsieur.
Merci.
À votre bonne santé.
À la vôtre.
There. I feel better already. Inspector, I have this for you. It's a tape from her apartment. I want you to hear it. I won't have him telling lies about me and about Villard.
Villard, madame?
I was doing it to protect her. I was doing it to protect her from him. I want you to show her she didn't need him, didn't need any man for anything. Trying in my own stupid way and trying to tell myself. I was frantic at the time. I don't know why.
Madame, madame.
If he tells you about Villa, ask him about the ring.
It is over, madame. It's a closed case.
Not when his book comes out and he slanders me. Ask him about the goddamn ring. I warned her. I told her over and over, don't go to Lausanne. He's like a spider weaving a web of deceit, and if he gets you anywhere near him, he drags you in and eats you up alive. Oh, God. Marie-Jo.
Let it go, madame. Let it go. Denise.
Oh, Inspector.
Let it go. But she couldn't let it go. She was just like Simonon in that way. Not that it was so easy for me. I've seen lots of suicides, murders, but this one... I kept hearing that girl's voice singing that song. Kept wondering why. Why did she do it? I kept talking about it. I have trouble sleeping. I asked my wife, what do you make of it? We have a daughter, same age. Claudine, fille charmante. My wife and I, we've had our disagreements over her. The only one of our children, I don't know why. I was staring out of the window, the train racing along, green fields, hills, vineyards, the bright morning sun, and I was seeing her lying there on the bed in a long, elegant white dress. A small red hole in her chest. It was Dr. Latour who found the body, family doctor, mostly for Marie-Jo, of course. Rang me up directly. Denise had to be told, of course, and the boys, but he couldn't or wouldn't phone Simenon. So it was up to me. He took it hard, of course, and flew to Paris the next morning. Denise and Dr. Latour were with me at the apartment when he arrived.
Bonjour, Inspector.
Bonjour.
Bonjour, Georges.
Michel.
Georges, I am so terribly sorry.
Tell me exactly what happened.
She didn't keep her appointment with me yesterday morning. She phoned, left a message. She'd see me later. She was supposed to meet us, Denise and me, for lunch. She didn't show. Wasn't like her. Not at all. Oh, Denise kept calling her number over and over. Then her friends. Then the hospital. I took a cab, told Denise to wait at home. I came straight here, knocked several times.
She gave me the key.
But she changed the lock.
After she came back from Lausanne.
I thought I could hear her singing. I felt relieved at first. Until I realized it was just one of her tapes, of herself. Singing that song, you know which one. Over and over. Then I knew. The concierge called the locksmith.
Inspector.
We found her there in the bedroom. The bed all neatly made up, the cover folded back. The gun still in her hand. She looked, how shall I say it? Tranquille. Mm-hmm. It's not often the case. The suicide among the young. Of course, we had to remove her to the morgue for an autopsy.
No.
Routine, monsieur.
No autopsy.
But you must understand.
I understand. I've seen autopsies.
We must be certain, monsieur, that it was suicide. Though I have no doubt.
All the more reason, then.
Dr. Latour.
Ah, Inspector.
I will make a call or two if that is necessary.
It'll not be necessary, no. Not at all. But it is rare for a woman to shoot herself in the chest.
Yes.
It's the way a man would do it.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
She was very brave, madame.
She was desperate.
Michel. She left no note.
Nothing. Not nothing. Just these tapes of hers.
I listened to one or two. Mostly songs. Talk. Nothing special.
What weapon, Inspector?
A single shot. .22 pistol. Extra bullet on the table. These guns... easy enough to buy on the street.
I know where she bought the gun.
She would never buy a gun. Never. She hated violence.
I fear she hated herself.
She hated Teresa.
Inspector, you must find out who bought the gun and when and where and how.
But of course, monsieur.
And find out why the gun remained in her hand.
Enough.
The recoil usually propels it.
Inspector.
Not always, monsieur.
Inspector, arrest that man and lock him up.
But there's something wrong here, Inspector.
Arrest him for destroying my daughter.
Which hand was it in?
Right hand, clutched tightly.
She was left-handed.
We will check fingerprints, naturally, but the door was locked from the inside.
From the window, there's a ledge, 10 feet down.
The window was closed.
Locked?
No.
She could have been shot elsewhere, moved here, the gun placed in her hand.
Inspector, stop him!
I want her shoes checked, the carpets.
Yes, yes.
This was the crime of a madman. This was the crime of bitter disappointment. You must see that, Michel.
Oh, George.
He's making it into a damn mystery story. His own daughter.
The wire to the phone was cut.
My point exactly, monsieur. No burglar would have done that. No, no, no. There were scissors on the table. She must have been angry, very angry.
Pure conjecture.
Of course. But probable, monsieur. Most probable. Nothing was stolen, no sign of struggle, no evidence of assault.
No one heard the shot.
Les Champs-Élysées.
Time of death?
Late morning, I should say. We would know better with an autopsy.
And then you could tell the exact time of death.
Yes, quite close. Why?
It's important, isn't it, Michel?
Yes, it could be, yes.
What's important, Inspector?
Death.
Yes, quite close. Why?
It's important, isn't it, Michel?
Yes, it could be, yes.
What's important, Inspector?
Yes, monsieur, including Henri Gérard. She knew him well, of course. Older man, late 50s. Meticulous, well-dressed, quiet. Smoked a pipe on occasion, like yourself. His family owned this apartment, as you well know, just before you bought it. He never used it very much. And we checked the hospital, Saint-Cécile. He has been there under lock and key the past 2 days. They're certain of that.
It proves nothing.
He's in a state of great distress. They're afraid to break the news to him.
Why is he in such great distress if they've not told him?
Stop him, Michel. He'll listen to you.
He resented Marigot taking over this apartment.
Leave him alone.
Inspector Marigot told me this fellow was after. He was...
Don't listen to him. Henri was not bothering Marigot in any way at all. He phoned her a number of times, visited her, helped her move in. It was his apartment. She liked him, liked the attention. After all, when you're young and being treated like a baby all your life, or baby doll. At times he got tiresome, don't they all? I told her, don't see him. He'd get upset, she'd give in. It was all piffle.
Did he ever threaten her, madame?
He was afraid of his own shadow.
You knew him well?
Of course.
In what manner, madame, may I ask?
We were on the same damn ward, for heaven's sake.
And did you have any involvement with him? Forgive me, madame.
Don't be ridiculous.
I regret. I must be thorough.
Be thorough with Simonon.
I shall, madame, be assured of that. But you and Monsieur Gérard...
Inspector, I prefer younger men than Henri. Much younger. And I never lack for company.
I'm certain of that, madame.
Merci, Inspector.
Michel.
What about her other boyfriend? Now, this is important.
Georges, you know I cannot divulge what was told to me in confidence.
Even now, when the murderer is out there on the street.
Monsieur, everything is well in hand.
Inspector, I do not want this case disposed of routinely. I know something about murder.
Yes, monsieur. And so do I.
As usual, the great Simonon does not appreciate what other people are doing for him.
I am well aware, Inspector, that you no longer handle these field investigations.
Well, they do like to kick us upstairs, old-timers, shuffling papers, doing busy work. But when Dr. Latour phoned, well, I knew I had to take this one myself.
Merci, Inspector. Merci bien. I shall anticipate your report, excellent as always, no doubt.
You're too kind, monsieur.
But you must understand, without any doubt whatsoever, my daughter could not have committed suicide. And if that should be your unfortunate conclusion, I shall feel obliged to undertake my own inquiry.
Monsieur, you have no objectivity in this situation, none.
I must find out who is responsible for her murder.
Monsieur, your daughter has attempted suicide before. 5 times. I'm sorry.
With those damn pills they keep giving her.
Not each time.
But never with a gun. Never. No, it is out of character, Inspector, and character is everything. She was getting better.
Wasn't she, Michel?
Tell him. You can tell him that.
Yes, she was getting better. Yes. She was getting better.
Do you have something to say, Michel?
I must say no more.
What I say?
And what I know, Inspector, is that there is missing information here. Vital facts which we don't yet know or understand, and they must all be revealed one way or the other.
I must caution you, Mrs. Simenon, not to interfere with the official investigation. It's a serious offence.
Oh, yes, indeed.
And I must ask you to explain your own whereabouts the past 24 hours.
I was in Lausanne until this morning.
Alone?
You know I live with Teresa.
And no one else saw you?
No one sees me in Lausanne.
And yet you had a visit from your daughter.
Inspector, you said you were certain it was suicide.
And you, monsieur, said you were certain it was not. Your daughter visited when, exactly?
3 days ago.
And spent the night?
She spent the night at the Carlton Hotel.
He is not telling you what he did, Inspector. What he did to her.
Enough!
He committed incest.
Michelle, if you were going to permit this woman...
This woman is her mother!
If you are going to permit her to continue to provoke...
Yes, incest. It doesn't matter whether or not he touched her. It's what he does to her. With a look, a smile. He's insidious. She knows he'll have sex with any woman, any girl, any time, any place. He has always confused that poor child. Led her on, tossed her aside, like he tossed me aside. He took away her purpose in living.
Her purpose in living was taken away a long time ago.
Don't you dare! You and your Italian whore!
Michelle, she will make me talk of Villar!
For God's sake, Georges!
Villar.
Nothing happened at Villar.
What is this, Villar? Dr. Latour?
It was many years ago. Many, many years ago.
And that, I suppose, Doctor, that too you cannot divulge.
Ask Simonon what happened 3 days ago.
3 days ago?
She was all charged up. Edgy, when she visited Michelle, you know how she gets.
Yes. She asked for some medication to calm her down.
She was fine when I took her to the airport. She had finished moving in here, fixing it up, bringing over her things, her tapes. She seemed happier than I'd seen her in years. And then, of course, she was excited. She always was, for some reason, to be visiting him.
She phoned me that night from Lausanne. She wanted to see me right away. She'd missed the last flight. Could leave in the morning. Sounded very shaky. Upset. Asked if I could see her first thing the next day. Wanted me to call Denise to pick her up at Roissy and take her home.
Her face was all puffy and swollen from crying. When I picked her up, he hates me, she kept saying. Over and over, he hates me.
She meant Henri Gérard.
No, she didn't.
I gave her something to sleep. Not too much, you know how she is. How she was. She said she was going to change the lock on her door.
Henri Gérard would have held on to his key, been pestering her.
You don't know that.
She was beginning to feel paranoid again, afraid of everyone.
Not afraid of me. Never afraid of her father.
I phoned her yesterday morning, later, to see how she was doing.
The time?
10:30. She hadn't slept all night, been throwing up. She didn't sound good. I offered to come and get her. She said no, she was all right. She'd meet us at the restaurant, have something light to eat. My last words to her were, phone your father. Don't know why I said that, actually. I don't know why.
You did the right thing. You've known her since she was that high, when we came back to France. You mustn't blame yourself.
I don't blame myself.
What do you mean by that?
Not myself. No.
I am her father.
Ah, her father? Ask him, Inspector. Ask him why he had to give that damned interview to Fellini. At a time like this, she had just come out of hospital.
Ask her, Inspector, about that book of hers, Michelle. Tell him if that meant nothing.
Marie-Jo loved my book.
It deranged her.
It deranged you.
You know, Georges, she reads everything about you.
The two of you now. Michelle, you used to be my friend.
I am a friend of the whole family, Georges.
You used to be my friend.
Don't badger him.
It's all because of Teresa, isn't it? That's it, Michelle, isn't it?
You know me better than that, Georges.
Teresa must be protected at any cost, but not Marie-Jo. She couldn't bear to hear her father tell the world, brag, boast, he'd had sex with 10,000 women.
Mary Jo has always understood her father was not a monk in a monastery.
It was a gross exaggeration.
She left a full tape about the interview with Fellini.
The word tumbled out when he and I get going.
It couldn't have been more than 1,000. 1,500 at most. After all.
Michelle, that's not what really bothered her. You know that. You know she felt guilty. You know she and Henri Girard were sleeping together here in this apartment, which I bought for her. For her, not for them. She was sleeping with him, wasn't she?
Georges, please.
Your head advisor. You shouldn't have let her be so loose.
She was 25.
She looked up to you, Michelle.
What are you doing, Georges?
I'm trying to make you understand. Marie-Jo and I... And my sons, we are a family, a real family, not a random collection of people. We affect one another.
In this family, there's only one person.
I think, monsieur, madame, we have all that we require for today.
Oh, more than enough. Take me home, Michelle, please.
Yes, yes, of course. You and she have become quite chummy, I see. Denise is beginning to change.
Being away from Simonon.
She's becoming a new person.
Yes. Yes, I am. I really am. Or I was. Before yesterday.
So you've been helping her, Michelle, is that it?
Helping me understand how it all happened before. With Tigi.
Tigi?
Georges' first wife.
He did the same thing to her.
Michelle, you hardly knew her. And it wasn't the same thing at all.
She... was a lady.
She was deaf, dumb, and blind and let you bamboozle her for years behind her back. In the next room sometimes.
Michelle, you must control her.
No one controls me.
Denise, Georges, this is not the time and not the place.
Well, monsieur, madame.
Michelle, will you take care of the services?
There will be no services.
Michelle. Georges. She told me the last time she wanted to be cremated.
Then her ashes to Lausanne.
Yes, to Lausanne.
To my garden, under the tree.
No, to the chateau.
No, she loved my tree, I tell you.
She said the chateau.
You're saying that to hurt me. The two of you, I won't permit it. No! Marie-Jo is coming home. Home to her father. Home. And no one will take that away from me. Do you hear no one?
I have to tell you, Georges, that she said...
Oh, let him do whatever the hell he wants. He always does anyway. Always.
You must rest, Denise. Come. My car is downstairs.
We will, of course. Monsieur, madame, have to seal the apartment. And no one is to enter.
Au revoir, Inspector.
Au revoir, madame.
Et merci bien for your assistance.
De rien, madame.
Au revoir, Inspector. Au revoir, Georges.
Au revoir, Michel. Dr. Latour is a good doctor. A good friend, usually. But he's always been a moralist. His fatal flaw. How he ever put up with all of us.
Then you don't concur.
About the Fellini interview? And Tigi? No. Tigi never forgave me for leaving her to marry Denise. I didn't leave her. I was never with her. Sex with Tigi, well, lie there and think of England. My son, of course, would say 27 years of marriage. Make-believe years. During which I'd say perhaps 5,000 other women. Not to mention one fabulous maid we used to have who, well...
You seem partial to maids.
Oh, yes. Very convenient.
Do you know, monsieur, when I read that interview, I took out pencil and paper.
I started when I was 15. 3, 4, 5 times a day. Add it up. 10,000 is really an understatement. Naturally, it was mostly prostitutes. Why not? I admire professionals.
I always wondered why Denise would
Well...
She encouraged it. She arranged it. She joined it. When she wasn't off someplace in her dream world. Tell me, Inspector, the dress you found her in.
Was it like this?
Exactly so. In white.
I saw it was missing. Pretty thing, isn't it?
You know her clothes well, monsieur.
I bought all of her clothes. Ever since she was a child. I got her those dresses when I was here a month ago. It was the first time I saw this apartment, which I bought for her, sight unseen. I wanted to help her to get a new start. I bought this secure apartment, relying on your...
Oh, now, monsieur...
You told me the building was safe.
Mais non, monsieur, mais non. I told you it was safer. Safer than most quartiers, where the young people like to stay. And I requested, monsieur, I especially requested our patrol to keep an eye out. They'd drop in every now and then. Marie-Jean was quite annoyed.
That was good of you. Yes. So, of course, I had to come and see it. I don't like leaving Lausanne. I don't like leaving Geneva. But she pleaded. Over and over. Teresa wasn't invited.
Papa. Oh, Papa, you must. How is my wonderful papa?
I'm well, my sherry, as well as can be expected. And you?
I'm fine. Just fine.
Are you? Really?
Fine. Come in, come in. Look around. Tell me, Papa, what do you think?
Yes. Well, it seems nice enough.
Nice. It's wonderful. And it came with everything. I love this armchair. It's just like yours. I sit and read in it for hours.
And I hope you'll do some writing, ma chérie.
Papa.
You can write, Marie-Jo.
I was so surprised. You're sending me this typewriter.
It's my oldest friend.
I know, but...
I wanted you to have it.
Papa, it's too much. But you can use it when you come to Paris. My apartment will be your studio.
When I'm away from Teresa.
No, I didn't mean that. No, no, no. I mean, when you need some new ideas, you could come here. Have that nice inspector over for a drink. He always has such good stories for you. You said so.
Yes.
Sit down, Papa. Please sit down.
So, Marie-Jo, do you still have to check back in?
Now then. But I'm fine.
Your mother remains at the chateau.
She's leaving soon. She's packing up. There's an apartment she wants here, not far from me.
You would do well to keep your distance.
That's what she says about you.
She will make you nervous again.
She will make me nervous.
You must be careful.
Yes.
I only want what is best for you.
And you'll hate me if I see her.
She's not good for you, my darling. That's all.
She wrote that book about you, about the cat.
Set it aside, dearest girl. Don't see her. She will eat you up.
I can't stop seeing her. I feel too close to her.
I see.
My stomach hurts. Papa, I can take care of myself. I can, Papa. I can. And I'll be good, I promise.
Your mother.
I can handle her. She asked me to go to Via. Of course, I said no.
Could she?
She doesn't remember, or she... No, no, no. I don't want to talk about it. No. Papa, you do like the apartment. You do, don't you?
Well, yes. How did you find it?
friend.
A boyfriend?
A friend. A man. Henri Gérard. His family, you know. They had to sell it. You know that.
Yes, I know, but this apartment above a nightclub.
But it's the Lido, Papa. The Lido. Oh, Papa, you're not going bourgeois on me. Not my Papa.
You've never had a double bed before.
I've never had my own place.
You must be very careful. Older men,
no, Papa.
They take advantage of innocent young girls.
I'm not so innocent.
Then you must try to be.
What I try to do is not to eat.
That. Still.
Still, yes.
You seem, as always, svelte and...
I eat and I eat and then I... No. No. The Champs-Élysées is good for me. I look out and I see happy people day and night all the time. I don't feel alone. I feel sometimes like I'm alive.
You must always feel alive.
When I'm with you, I feel alive.
Do you know I used to stay in this very same building?
Of course, you wrote about it.
It was a hotel then. Years and years ago. Such excitement. The Lido downstairs, the women, the crowds, music, wine. Women dancing downstairs, half naked. Upstairs, well, freedom. Freedom from all constraint, freedom from all convention, freedom to be oneself. The loving girl who bring to me...
Wait, Papa. Let me get it on tape. Now.
The loving girl who bring to me the harmony I'm dreaming of. A dream come true.
Oh, I love to see you like this.
Yes, freedom, freedom. But for you so young, well...
I'm not so young, Papa. No, I'm really old, ages old. And I don't have much time.
Why not?
Because I'm 25. I've got to get on with my life. I don't want to end up like Henri.
This Henri fellow, does he bother you?
Oh, sometimes he... No. No, he's fine. We read poetry together. He's very lonely. I'm very lonely.
But he...
I can take care of myself. I can and I do. And Papa... got to be on my own. You must understand that. You must. Don't take that away from me, Papa. Please, don't desert me.
Ma petite.
Or I'll be lost forever.
You'll never be lost with your Papa to take care of you. Hey, this flat of yours. Yes, it will be good for you. We will keep it. Yes, it is time for you to be on your own.
Oh, Papa. Papa. You'll be so proud of me. I'll be so good, and you'll love me again, like you used to, when I was your special girl.
Oh, no, Cherie, enough of this. Come on, come on. We'll get a taxi and go to Faubourg Saint-Honoré. I saw a dress there that is perfect for you, so long and elegant. And then dinner, just the two of us.
Oh, Papa.
You can use a new dress, can't you?
Always. Is it white?
It's red, bright red, to go with your happy mood.
Flashy, I hope. Like my ring.
Now, Marie-Jo... I've told you not to wear that anymore.
But why?
At least not in public.
Why not?
Because you're a young lady now. It's over. It's done with.
No. No, it isn't. It's yesterday, Papa. Yesterday. And you and I are dancing, you and I together, every night. And we're so happy. And Mama is there too, and Mark and John and Pierre, and we're all together. And every night the band is playing that funny American waltz, you know... Da 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 da, da 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 da, because they know you and I love it. Because they know we love to dance together. Because they know you make me happier than anyone ever has.
No.
Or ever will.
You mustn't marry Jo.
And you buy me this ring, which I will never ever take off.
Marry Jo, no.
Till death do us part.
You must take off the ring.
But why?
I never wear it again.
Papa, we don't blame you.
What?
It's all right. You and Fraser. Really, it's all right. We're happy for you. We really are. And I want to see your new home. Your new home. I do. I really do.
Yes, yes, I knew you would. I knew I could count on you.
When can I see it?
We must plan in advance.
Yes, yes, of course. But soon, Papa, soon.
It's a small house, Marie-Jo, very small, but I am content there. I am at peace for the first time in my life. And all I want is for you, and even Dr. Latour, to give Teresa half a chance.
Oh, we will. We will, Papa, we will. We all want you to be happy. And if you're happy, I'm happy. Now, Papa, is it time for my dress?
Dress? Two dresses, yes. Two dresses.
Papa.
One red and one white.
Oh, my wonderful Papa. Now, let's go.
And that was the last time you were in this apartment.
Yes. She and I went out, had dinner together. I returned to my hotel. And that night I had one of my most wonderful dreams. You know, we lead two lives, the everyday world and the magical world of dreams. Mine are simply marvelous. That night I dreamt I was back home in Lausanne with my beloved Teresa. And Marie-Jo was with us. We were all so happy together, and Marie-Jo was dancing, my little girl, dancing and singing. And I was dancing with her, like she always wanted me to do. And then... Well, there it is. I should not have been surprised when you phoned last night, but I was. I had to wait to get a flight this morning. It was the longest night of my life.
Yes. Difficult, all of this. Very difficult.
You don't know how difficult.
For her. For her.
You don't understand. I made her happy. She was happy here. You have never understood me, Inspector, and you never will. I'm staying at the Lancaster. I shall be there as long as is necessary. And then I'm going to take my little girl home to be with her father forever.
And that was the last I saw of him. Oh, I rang him up to give my report. Wanted to tell him in person, but he refused. He listened politely enough. I might have saved my breath. The lab test showed her fingerprints only on the gun, powder burns on her dress consistent with self-inflicted wound, Henri Gerard's fingerprints all over the apartment, not on the gun. We tried to trace it. I told Simonon something might turn up one day. I knew he would go ahead on his own. That's how he is. That's how he's always been. It was, I assumed, the end of our friendship. Not much of a friendship. Never that close. How could we be? Two loners like us. Well, it all settled down, I thought.
Next stop, Dijon. Dijon. Change for Genève, Lausanne.
But then, at my hotel, I received a message from Paris. And suddenly, I had another reason to see Simonon.
George?
Yes?
A telegram.
They want to delay publication. Henri Gerard has killed himself.
Oh.
The idiot. Jumped from the roof of the apartment building.
They will blame you. Denise, monsieur, to that.
Yes, all of them. They will blame me.
Your book must be published.
Now, more than ever. The world must know the truth, must know who murdered Marie-Jo.
Yes, let them know.
They will know when and where the crime took place.
That
idiot!
I'll go.
Inspector Mercier, as precise as ever.
come in, my old friend.
Thank you for agreeing to see me, monsieur. You look well. And you, Teresa.
Merci, Inspector.
Sit down. Do sit down, please.
But this room, monsieur.
Simplicity, humility. I'm living like a monk, so to speak.
Some coffee, Inspector.
No, merci.
I will go and prepare lunch.
Will you join us, Inspector?
Well...
After lunch, Calvados, like old times.
Like old times. Well, perhaps so.
Good, very good.
I will leave the two of you alone.
I cannot quite believe it. This one room...
A small one upstairs, very small.
A combination living room and bedroom for Georges Simenon. Out of the chateau... 30 rooms, was it?
31. 10 servants, 6 cars, 3 dogs. I got rid of them all. I have to support Denise and her attorneys.
Ah, but, monsieur, your books continue to sell quite briskly. I was reading the other day. 400 million copies, they said.
They have it wrong, as always. 450 million in 55 languages.
And yet I see not a single one here.
You know, Inspector, as I grow older, I have a curious sense of shame about my books. I would, you may think this strange, I would rather not have written them.
Monsieur.
A man who writes novels, a man who has to write, is nothing more than a slave to his past, to the demons of his past. He's more to be pitied than admired.
Monsieur, this is most unlike you.
I keep a library of other writers only. Across town, in an apartment, locked up. I never go there.
And not a single painting. Your Picassos, Matisse. Leger, Miro.
All in storage. Therese's grandfather, you know, was a blacksmith. Mine was a hat maker. We come from humble stock. We want to live out our days and die right here as humble folk. I am at peace with the world.
This humility of yours, monsieur, if I may be so bold, seems almost as extreme as your... Well, shall I call them past indulgences?
The past is over and done with. And I owe much of all this to you.
To me?
In part, yes. To you and to Madame, monsieur.
You've seen my home.
Oh, it's not a matter of mere appearance, no. It's the sense of peace you have within yourself, the quietness inside, a certain steadfastness, if you will.
Well, you're very generous, monsieur, but it is not as it appears.
Well, then, perhaps in time we shall become more like one another after all.
We've quite a long way to go, monsieur, quite a long way.
You are here about Henri Girard.
Yes.
And the break-in.
Yes, the break-in. And I see you have a telegram. Henri Girard.
Yes.
Quite a shock.
Not for me.
No. I suppose not.
Not for the reason you think.
What do I think?
You think I was responsible.
His parents certainly think so. Not that his death could have been entirely unexpected. It could have happened at any time. Nonetheless,
they blame me.
They do, indeed.
A family tray.
They say you were hounding him.
I was searching for the truth about a despicable person.
A sick man, monsieur. A very sick man.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. But don't you think it rather ironic, his jumping?
Ironic?
From the same building where Mary Jo lived, where Mary Jo was murdered, and he goes ahead and jumps?
No, not call that ironic.
After threatening to shoot himself? You knew that?
No, I didn't. Not specifically, no.
His parents never told you?
If they had known, they would have told me.
Not known their own son? And you, Inspector, you never knew yourself because you were so utterly convinced he could not possibly have been the cause of my daughter's death.
The cause?
You refused to question him closely.
It's not so easy to question a person in his situation at all. Closely or not closely.
That depends upon one's conviction, on one's force of will. After all, if someone goes around threatening to shoot himself, he is likely to have access to weapons, don't you agree?
You have evidence, monsieur?
Yes.
Obtained legally?
Of course. You can read it in my book.
Ah. That I shall do, indeed. But it would appear you failed to notify us of this new evidence.
There was no reason to notify you.
No reason?
The case was closed, was it not? You said so.
You had an obligation. An obligation to me, monsieur.
You do not understand, Inspector. My obligation was to discover the truth about my daughter's death.
And my obligation is to enforce French law. I must warn you here and now that any infraction will be most severely dealt with.
There was no infraction. And the past will soon be laid to rest.
You must understand as well, monsieur, that if you publish this book of yours, Madame Simenon is prepared to take you to court.
Oh, is she?
To block publication.
Denise and I already keep the legal profession alive and well. Her lawyers, my lawyers, armies of lawyers, like insects, they shall inherit the earth.
Madame would welcome an end to this bitter feud.
Would she indeed?
If you are willing to suspend publication, or modify the text, perhaps, she will drop all legal action and do nothing more.
I call that blackmail.
Monsieur, she asked me to convey the simple request.
The two of you have become rather friendly.
Your son requested it as well.
You've taken on the role of advocate for certain members of my family.
Only to ease the pain, monsieur. Perhaps for you as well.
Ah, yes.
And by not publishing, you will also avoid the risk of official difficulties, inquiries, the like.
A threat, Inspector?
A word of caution.
It is out of the question. We are going ahead. My publisher is planning 30,000 copies for the first edition. He says my memoirs are even better than my novels.
Then you must understand, I have this from Madame. You know what it contains.
She made sure I knew, or rather her lawyers did.
She is prepared to release it to the press.
Is she?
Marie-Jo's final tape. It was not easy to listen to.
A tape stolen from the apartment.
She says it was left for her.
She says.
And she very much doubts you have included it in your book.
She refused to give it to me.
And you could not remember? You? You could not recreate it.
It did not matter. Not really.
Of course it mattered. You held back important information. You continue to do so.
Nothing of any significance.
No one would have known of the phone call.
It was not important. It was a mere postscript, an addendum. You have to understand what took place before. Otherwise, you understand nothing. It was her visit with me, which left me shattered. Only I knew what happened then. Only I know what she revealed, what I discovered, yes. During her visit, the last time I saw her alive. Here, in this room. This very room. Come in, my sweet little
girl. Oh, Papa. Oh, I'm so happy to be here.
Bonjour, my dear.
Bonjour, Teresa. I'll take your coat.
Here, let me take this large suitcase.
I packed a lot, but I won't stay long. I won't be in the way.
You must understand, Marie-Jo.
I prepare some tea. Your favorite kind, Marie-Jo.
Whiskey for me.
Oh?
Double.
Yes. Yes, of course.
This room.
We're still settling in. But I know now this shall be my final home. I feel it in my bones. Wherever I've lived, I've always felt a stranger. I didn't belong. Now, after 33 different places, at last, home is the sailor, home from the sea, and the hunter, home from the hill. Come, come now, look around. Tell me what you think.
It's so small, Papa.
It's my little pink house. Do you like it?
I don't know. But, Papa, isn't that the same bed?
Yes, yes, yes. Come and sit down.
But, Papa...
Yes, I've always liked that brass scroll work.
It was Mama's bed and yours together.
It doesn't matter, my little one. Sit down, please, my sweet girl. Now, tell me what you think.
Papa...
Is it so unappealing?
It's awfully pink.
It's heaven.
After the shutter.
You must forget the shutter.
Forget.
The shadow is past. The past is over and over.
The past is me!
It's different now, my dearest girl. It's all different. Look,
I just bought this large television. I've become an ordinary man.
That's what you want. That's what you really want.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. It's so different for me now. I'm with the woman I've been searching for all my life. My special woman. I'm finished with chasing. Through with all the torment inside. You know what it was like for me when I was writing. That feeling coming over me like a sickness, like a trance. That feeling here in my gut. That terrible feeling of emptiness. I had no control. I had no choice. I had to write. I had to fill myself up. But now, I'm free. It is over. Finished. Termini.
What do you mean?
It'll be 1 month exactly this Friday. It was 11:15 in the morning. I hadn't planned it. I'd been sitting there upstairs at my desk and nothing happened. I sat staring at my typewriter.
The typewriter you sent to me?
Yes, that typewriter. Oh. I typed just one word. Victor. Neatly, in the corner of the page. That's all I had. Just the title. Nothing unusual in that. But then I sat. And I sat. And I stared at that blank piece of paper for 3 hours. And nothing came. Nothing. I got up. I closed the door. I came downstairs and I told Teresa, I will never write again.
Oh, no.
Never. I am a free man.
But why?
I knew somehow I would never be with book again. Never. And now I've passed my typewriter to you, my dearest girl. I've been writing since I was a boy. 400 novels, 1,000 stories, millions of words. How many millions? Someday someone will count them all up and tell me.
You can't do this to me.
What?
You can't do this.
What is the matter with you?
She wants you all to herself.
You mustn't say such things.
You'll still be empty.
Stop that.
And I'll be empty.
You must understand me, Marie-Jo. I am relieved.
But you always wanted to be special. You wanted me to be special.
Marie-Jo.
I used to be your special girl. I was, wasn't I? For you... We had a special love between us.
Marie-Jo, stop.
You gave me this ring. You promised. And I promised you my life.
Don't do this, Marie-Jo. Don't do this to me.
To you. You. Who are you? You are not my father. Bring back my father.
Someone's been at you.
No,
your mother,
no.
Marie Girard.
Oh, God, I feel sick. I need to lie down.
Marie-Jo, some hot tea.
I need that drink. Merci, Teresa.
Buy some hot tea, Marie-Jo. Where can I stay? What's wrong?
The door, you will be better.
No, stay, Teresa. Another whiskey.
You said there was a room upstairs.
I've made it into a study.
A study? You said you were never going to write again.
No, Marie-Jo. I have reserved a nice room for you at the Carlton.
It has a lovely view.
No.
You can see it from here, fifth floor corner, and you can see the garden from your room. I chose it especially for you.
No!
You must understand, my little one. It's a new life. For Teresa and me, and for you as well.
No, it isn't. I'm leaving. I'm going to stay at the chateau.
You cannot.
Why?
It's all boarded up. I'm going to sell it.
No! Don't sell the chateau, Papa! Please! Please, Teresa, please!
I am through with it.
Oh. Through with the chateau! Through with writing! Then I will have nothing! Nothing!
Marie, you must calm down now. You must calm your nerves.
My dear girl.
Stay away from me.
Stay at the hotel. You'll feel better in the morning after a good night's sleep. And then we'll have breakfast and we'll talk. Just you and I.
No, I'm going home. Home to Paris. Home to my brother. Home to my mother. Home is Paris, do you understand? Paris. Dan is dead. The chateau is dead.
My papa is dead.
You have it all, Inspector. What I discovered, yes. Who she was, what she had become. My enemy. My enemy.
You're a hard man, monsieur. Very hard.
Easy enough for you to stand there and judge me, as you always have. But my little Marie-Jo had changed. Someone made her challenge me. Something made her reveal the abnormal nature of her love.
Abnormal?
Yes, abnormal.
Well,
if you have something to say...
Do continue, monsieur. Continue.
I should have known right then that this Henri Gérard was behind it all. But after her murder, I was certain I had to have proof. And I found it.
Found what exactly?
The owner of the gun that killed my daughter was none other than Henri Gérard.
How can you know that?
Because I have the receipt of purchase.
Receipt?
Yes.
Purchased where?
In Belgium. Curious, don't you think? He's going there, to Liège, where I was born and raised.
And this receipt came into your possession in what manner?
He gave it to me.
Monsieur.
To one of my employees.
His parents reported a break-in at the hospital.
Yes.
Illegal entry.
Oh, come now, Inspector.
Living in Switzerland does not give you license to break the laws of France. That, monsieur, is why I am here.
Would I be so foolish? He invited my investigators in.
I cannot believe that.
Check the hospital log. He told his parents there was a burglary because he didn't want them or anyone to know the truth.
Which was?
That whenever he was out of hospital on a pass or whatever, he would go and buy a gun. Or was getting ready to kill himself. We found a stack of receipts, but the coward would throw away the gun into the river, he said.
And he volunteered all this freely?
He was rattled. My investigators asked to see him. He agreed. And they went right to where the receipt was hidden. It was something of a lucky guess. I was finishing up my book, listening to one of her tapes, when it struck me all of a sudden. She mentioned lending him books of poetry. The last one was Baudelaire. And sure enough, there it was. He broke down and confessed.
Confessed? To what exactly?
Oh, to just about every murder in Paris for the past century. He was hopeless. The only story with any credibility was that Marie-Jo talked him out of killing himself. She was like that. And in return, he made her promise she would keep that damn gun of his for him. Yes, for him. He said he loved my mysteries, and he was scared to death of me, afraid I'd kill him. Which I would have. Except he was innocent.
What?
He was merely an accomplice.
An accomplice?
You know that.
That pathetic man?
You wish me to feel compassion for a man who hands my daughter a loaded gun? She so headstrong, impulsive? He knew that. You knew it. But no, you excuse him. The gun, sitting there, waiting.
Waiting for a moment of pain. A pain too terrible to bear. You never told me, monsieur. She knew the day and the hour you stopped writing.
Is that what you consider important?
Yes.
In the grand scheme of things.
What?
If she were going to kill herself, is one day different from another?
Monsieur.
I am a realist, Inspector.
She killed herself on a Friday.
I didn't invite you here to blame me.
You didn't invite me, monsieur.
You refuse to understand me.
I understand only too well. You have a genius to imagine, to create, to make things appear as you want them to appear.
Don't you see? I received at her hands the greatest shock of my life.
Your daughter was in love with you. You had moved in with another woman.
I was trying to recover. I was trying to put aside what I learned. I knew she would talk to Henri Gérard. I knew she would talk to Denise. To Michel. I knew they would... All of them.
No, monsieur, no.
They would get to her.
It is all on this tape.
The tape does not matter.
You must listen to the tape.
You don't understand. She phones me up. Totally unexpected. And all of a sudden, I'm supposed to say something, do something, but what?
You were so sure of yourself, you tell me.
What? She'd shattered all there was between us just 2 days before.
Listen.
Papa? It's me.
Ah, Marie-Jo.
I'm fine now.
Good, good.
Listen, Papa, I'm sorry about the visit, about what I said. I've been such a bad girl.
Yes, yes.
But I'm going to be good, from now on, forever. I realize how selfish I've been, how I've wanted you all to myself.
Yes.
I know, but I always thought... Well, when Teresa used to sneak into your room at night...
I'll marry you.
We all knew that. But in front of us, she called you Monsieur, so I thought... We all thought, you know, she was like the others.
Now you're starting again.
No, I'm not. I'm not accusing you of anything. I accuse myself, my jealousy, my selfishness.
Are you alone?
What? Of course I'm alone.
Is Henri Girard there?
No, 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 it's not Henri. It's not anyone, it's me, all me. God. Listen, Papa. Papa, believe me. I want you to enjoy your happiness with Teresa. I know I've been a burden for you.
Well...
Yes, I know. You've had so much to put up with, I know. But it's going to be different now.
Yes.
It will. Mama is going away. I'm going to have lunch with her and Dr. Latour today. Soon, if I can eat, at Le Tremblant. I love the Gare de Lyon. People going and coming, getting away.
So you're still seeing her?
She's changed, Papa. So have I. We can talk now.
If you're going to insist on spending time with her...
I know, but she's my only mother. And she'll be gone soon. Oh, I wish it wouldn't go. I'll go to Pissat. But, Papa, I love you. Papa, for me, don't give up writing, please, please.
No one tells me about my writing.
I'm sorry, Papa, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't, I know, but I love your writing, and I love you, Papa. Je t'aime. Papa, tell me you love me too, please.
I love
you. No, that's not it. Say je t'aime. Tell me you love me. Say you love me. You will always love me. Say it like you used to say it. Please, oh, please. Especially now, especially today.
Marie-Jo, you are my daughter. My daughter.
Oh, Papa, Papa.
Do you understand me?
I understand. I do understand. I understand, Papa.
What was that sound?
Papa, I understand. Oh, my stomach hurts. 2 days stuffing, gorging. 8 pounds. I can't believe it. Pregnant pig. Is it your baby, Papa? Is it me waiting to be born? Throw it all up. All of it. Get rid of it. Get rid of me. Disappear. Teresa understands. Teresa understands everything.
Marie-Jo.
Dirty old phone. Do you deserve to live? You and Mama always fighting, hating, writing ugly books about each other. So many lies and too much truth. Poor Mama. Poor Marie-Jo. Scissors. Scissors everywhere except when you need them most. There. Rest in peace. Now it will be all nice and quiet, and I won't ever have to get up again. Ever. This wonderful chair. It was your chair. When you were away. I don't know, some place I discovered. Shame on you. Nasty, horrid girl. Now, enough is enough. Papa, this is the important part. When I'm cremated, they must not remove my ring, my wedding ring. Do you hear? Don't let them do that. And don't be angry with Dr. Latour. He loves you. He loves me. Everyone loves me. Now, no more excuses. Now, this will be like one of your stories, good old Papa. Who killed Marie-Jean? The door locked from the inside, phone wire cut. Murderer slips out of the window, too far to jump. Ledge 10 feet down. Help! Inspector Mercier! Try to understand and not judge. Motive? Revenge. Write it down, Papa. Write it down for me. Just for me. Disgusting girl. Blaming poor Papa. Always blaming other people. Papa, don't blame Henri. Poor Henri. Oh, God, how I wish someone would do it for me. If only someone had the kindness, the charity. Don't blame yourself, Papa. No matter what, don't blame yourself. Tell Mama the same thing. Papa, save me, Papa. I'm dying. I'm alone. Maybe I shouldn't be cremated. I'm afraid of fire. Papa, you decide for me. You make up my mind. I love you more than I can bear. I smell the sweet aroma of your pipe. I put myself in your arms. You protect me. I'm happy. And you? Now you will be happy too. Happy for your little girl. In 20 years time. To my loved one.
Marry you.
And what they were dancing.
Marry you.
I kept dialing her number. Again and again. I did everything I possibly could do.
Did you?
Everything. But it doesn't matter now. My little girl is with me forever. Out there. At rest among the flowers she loved so much. She is nourishing the soil. All I ever wanted is for my little girl to be with me forever. And for the world to know who is guilty.
Who is guilty? Monsieur, the question is, who is innocent?
Who is innocent? I will tell you now what Denise did to my daughter. I will strip her naked.
VR.
Yes, VR. Mary Jo was 11 years old when her mother insisted on taking her away for a rest cure. To her favorite resort. The child was high-strung, always sensitive, nervous, fragile. She used to bite her lips, pick at herself. I could never get her to stop. Denise was acting peculiarly, worse than ever. She did not want me there. And then she did that vile, disgusting thing. An act so contemptible it rendered my daughter forever incapable of becoming a real woman. I learned the details from her psychiatrist.
I thought those matters were confidential.
He felt I should know.
Did he?
A mother telling a little girl, you can give pleasure to yourself. Telling her, women don't need men.
Perhaps they don't.
Demonstrating. In front of a child. And she accused me of incest. Marie-Jo came home from Villars a nervous wreck. She couldn't talk, couldn't sleep, had horrible nightmares, kept washing her hands 20-30 times a day. From then on, it was in and out, hospitals, clinics. It's all in my book. I never wanted to bring it out into the open.
Never wanted to?
You know that what I say is true.
Your daughter, monsieur, did not commit suicide after VR.
So now you are the defender and protector of Denise Simenon, no matter what? I shall tell you alone, one final fact. It will not be in my book. No. It was Marie-Jo, it was she. She who wanted. She who always wanted to have sex with me. I swear it. Nothing happened, I made sure of that. But you still don't believe me, do you? You don't understand me, Inspector.
I fear I understand you all too well.
I shall not permit you to be my judge and jury.
I do not require your permission, monsieur. But when at last will you render the final judgment? You know the truth. But no, you erect this facade of simplicity and humility. And you want this make-believe life of yours to bring you absolution and forgiveness.
I need no forgiveness, not I. Ask Denise who needs forgiveness.
Then get rid of her.
What?
Free yourself.
What are you up to?
Give her a divorce.
Never. Never. She can take a lover, if that's what she wants. Men will always want to sleep with the wife of Simenon.
Monsieur.
Send for your visit. I know you and Denise have become involved.
No.
And once you called yourself my friend...
The problem is, monsieur, I never knew who I was friends with. And neither did you. Well, then. There's nothing more to be said, is there? I shall make my report.
Yes.
I shall require an advance copy of your memoirs as soon as possible. Prior to publication.
Yes.
There will no doubt be an inquiry of sorts.
Yes.
You're being in Switzerland. Well.
Yes.
Well, I think I shall have that Calvados back home in Paris, monsieur. If you will forgive me.
Forgive you? No. But I shall think of you, Inspector, and lift a glass in memory of former friendship.
As you will, monsieur.
And I shall toast to your retirement as well. It cannot be very long now.
No, not long at all.
May it be as content as mine.
Oh, I doubt that, monsieur. I doubt that very much.
Tell me, Inspector, your daughter, how is she?
She's fine. She's just fine.
Is she?
She was married last year.
Married?
Yes, nice young man.
Yes, of course.
I shall say au revoir, or rather, adieu.
Yes, but... Look! The sun has come out. My tree is glistening in the light. They say it is more than 250 years old. No, there is no reason for us to meet again, is there, Inspector?
No reason at all.
Teresa, the inspector will not be staying for lunch.
Ah.
My apologies, Teresa. I fear I have stayed too long.
Indeed, he has. Inspector, you may want to know. I have given my dear Teresa explicit instructions. No one is to be notified of my death. No one. My ashes are to be brought home and scattered out there beneath my beautiful tree. I promised her we would be together. In death, as in life. And so we shall.
Well, then I'll be on my way, monsieur. Teresa.
Adieu, Inspector.
I shall think of you, monsieur, for many, many years. And of Marie-Jo.
That will please both of us, Inspector. Merci. Thank you.
Teresa! Teresa!
Here, my darling George. I'm always here.
Merci, Teresa.
Some lunch, my dearest.
No lunch, no, not today. My little Marie-Jean needs me. I can feel it. I must go and be with her. She's upset. Very upset. I must calm her down.
Yes, you must, my dearest.
I must go and tell her it's all right, my sweet little girl. You are my special girl, and it's all right. Your papa will be with you soon. For all eternity. She gets so upset when I get upset. She's only a little girl. Only a little girl. Who's looking for a little boy? Who's looking for a girl? To love.
In Murder in Paris by Howard Ginsberg, Georges Simenon was played by Alan Bates, Inspector Mercier by Bob Peck, and Marie-Jo Simenon was Amelia Fox. Teresa was played by Eleanor Bron, Denise Simenon by Jacqueline Pierce, Dr. Latour, Johan Meredith, and the waiter, Christopher Wright. The music was arranged and composed by David Chilton and Nick Russell Pathier. Murder in Paris was directed by Andy Jordan.